When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone. I'm joined by Joel Pavone, Sean Ducha, and we got a special guest, a resident Suns fan, Tim Tunis, and we have a lot to catch up with Tim about. As you guys can imagine, right, the Suns make the biggest splash of the season, traded for Kevin Durant, and I swear, it's like Phoenix just can't have nice things, you know, because things have gone south, but Tim is going to give us the scoop as to what's going on with his Suns and give us the skinny. The team that's emerged as one of the favorites to come out of the Western Conference, you know, and they're somewhat going through it, right? We'll elaborate in a bit. Also, the Celtics bounce back, return to their winning ways, beating the Portland Trailblazers for the 6-game West Coast road trip. Sean, don't worry, I'm going to look ahead. We'll save that for your segment.
Hey.
Of course, we'll take our trip around the NBA with Joel in case you missed it. But let's get into some Suns talk. Let's talk about what's going on out west. Kevin Durant, after a heck of a debut week, he goes to Phoenix to make his home debut, and he got hurt during layup line. Got hurt before the game even started. And now they're saying he's out for the regular season. And the Suns, where does that put the Suns, Tim? Like, where do you I guess we could start there. I mean, about the injury. What's the latest with Kevin Durant? And, are we talking about the playoffs potentially being in jeopardy here? What's the latest?
They said 2 weeks. You're going to re-evaluate it in 2 weeks.
All right, well, okay. 2 weeks, I guess. What is it, 3 weeks left in the season? All right, my fault, Tim. I guess 2 weeks is.
Yeah, we're coming down to it, dude.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's usually, you know.
It's like 15 games left, like something like that.
The initial report was that Woj came out and said it'll be re-evaluated in 2 weeks. He should be able to get a couple regular season games in before the playoffs starts.
No chance they play him in the regular season, bro.
Why wouldn't they?
I don't know. The way Booker's been playing, it's like good because.
I'm not worried about the playoff. Like, I'm not worried about making the playoffs or a playoff spot because we're playing fine. And Booker's going nuts right now. It's deep in the playoffs. I'm not even worried about a first round. Like, I think we can beat the first round if we can get that 3 seed.
Right, but that's what I mean, man. If you can get the 3 seed and rest Durant, why don't you do it? Why would you rush him back?
Because he's only played 3 games with this team. They got to get some chemistry.
Yo, how mad are you at the ball boy, the towel boy, man?
Yeah.
Fucking that shit up, dude.
Yeah, man. Someone lose their job or what? What's going on?
I don't know. All I know is,
Tim doesn't want to hear our joke right now.
He's like, don't joke. Seriously, this is a serious matter, right?
It's very serious. Because I honestly think if he can stay healthy the whole playoffs, I think we're the favorites in the West. So that without him, I think we can go deep in the West, but not win. Maybe the Western Conference Finals without him and lose to whoever's waiting there for us. So we need him. That's obvious.
Which team do you think is the biggest threat? Like, in the 7-game series, which one are you thinking, man, that's going to be a tough one for Phoenix?
Well, it depends on what Ja's doing with his gun situation. That's true.
A lot depends on that.
I mean, if Ja is playing, then I'd be worried about Memphis, Denver.
With Durant?
No, not without Durant. Or not with Durant. With Durant, I'm confident against any team in the West.
Wow.
Without Durant, I'd be worried about Denver, Memphis, Golden State.
I think you should worry about Denver regardless. Man. That's just me.
I don't feel like anyone really has to worry about Denver, man.
No, Denver doesn't scare me. That
Why do people hate on Denver so much, right? Why can't this be the year that they break through?
I don't know. It's baffling because, outside of the Warriors and I guess you could put the Suns in that category, like this – Denver has been together. That core has been together for, like, talk about chemistry. Like, they got more chemistry than anybody right now out West.
Yeah, but
we swept them with ease. And all, I mean, they were missing Murray. I get it. But, like.
But don't you feel like the Suns, like, right now.
Without Kevin Durant.
But don't you feel like with the Suns, though? I mean, with Durant, like, the Suns are still, like, their bench is not as great as it was, you know, last year or the year before?
I mean, I think the. Why can I never remember this dude's name? The dude we got from the Magic.
He's talking about Terrence Ross. Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross.
Terrence Ross.
He's solid off the bench. As much as y'all hate on campaign, he's been a solid backup. I mean, he was out.
No, we didn't really hate on him.
Yeah.
Well, Dutra hates on him like hard.
Yeah, it's more just that you really like him. And he's a marginal NBA player, so that's why I hate him.
He thinks of campaign like the way he thinks of Alvarado out in New Orleans. He thinks he's just annoying.
Yeah, I was thinking
another step further. I was gonna be like Sean. I'm surprised Sean hasn't responded with dude. Have you seen Payne Pritchard? Same thing.
Yeah, I was just gonna say they're basically Shane Larkin in a good situation. That's what they are.
It's not. You see, like, this is coming from a guy who doesn't watch Suns basketball, like, at all.
Am I watching?
He's too busy betting on those Pistons games. Which, by the way, Sean, they're officially out of playoff contention. So,
I mean, and with
Kevin, shut it down soon.
You know, Torrey Craig's coming off the bench when Kevin Durant plays.
All right. So basically, you're saying that you're comfortable with the bench right now, or just the second unit in general.
I think they can hold their own with the starting unit being as strong as the starting unit is.
Wainwright, you're a big fan of Wainwright?
No, I don't like Wainwright.
All right. I'll clarify that.
my only thing is this: like, looking at the Suns, like, the bench is going to be fine, but you're going to go to a 7-man rotation in the playoffs. Like, how sustainable is that? Like,
what do you mean 7-man?
Who's campaign and Terrence Ross coming off your bed?
And Craig and Biombo or Landell is going to have to, somebody's going to have to back up Aiden.
That's what I'm saying. You're going to
find people.
Why did you leave? Why did you run with 7 men?
Like, yeah, where's 7? What are you talking about?
Like, 7 legitimate players on the team. Like,
he's like, what do you mean? Aiden's going to play the fucking 48 minutes. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it was.
No. But you said it like
he just mentioned.
You said it as if, like, it's like saying, like, there's a report out there, or you know, the organization got ahead of it. Like, it's going to be a 7-man rotation. Like, where did you get the 7-man rotation thing?
Isn't it going to start? Like, that's what I mean.
Bogey starts.
Who?
Okogie.
Okay.
Yeah. That starting five is with Josh.
Okogie's been balling, you know. He's been having like 20 the last, like, month.
Yeah, I like him. I liked him for the Celtics when he was coming to the draft.
Wasn't he on the Timberwolves for a while? That's the same Okogie?
All right. Same one. Okogie.
I mean, the reason it's the whole season rests on Durant, which is obvious. But it's like, I mean, can we be successful and win like a round or two without him? Yeah, but I want a fucking ring.
But Tim, all right, well, what was your initial reaction to the trade? Because obviously the mess in Brooklyn, I mean, Kyrie got traded, Durant got traded. We've seen super teams come together, you know, on the fly, so to speak, but never like this, like mid-season, right before the trade deadline, like, probably the greatest, biggest deadline moves ever. And obviously with the small window that you guys have and Chris Paul and the rest of that core, like, what was your reaction when you saw how many the breakdown and how many players were heading to Brooklyn?
My reaction was we went from a second round best scenario Western Conference Finals team to the best team in the West. That was my reaction.
That was mine too. Some people didn't like it, but
I don't know how much I loved Bridges and Cam Johnson, but it never even crossed my mind when I said bye. when I heard Durant was coming in.
Did you anticipate a big splash though? Obviously you weren't thinking Durant, but did you think that like, man, they gotta do something?
Yes, but I think that every year and usually nothing happened.
Yeah, did you?
This new owner is actually I'm liking him a lot because he's not scared to make the big moves.
Yeah, because his first day on the job, he traded for Kevin Durant.
Literally 24 hours on the job, he traded for Kevin Durant. It made everyone forgetting about the creep. It was a little easy. A little bit.
He's like,
Sorrow was somewhere like, they got KD?
Over the summer, when all the KD rumors were happening, Brooklyn wanted Bridges. They didn't want Ayton. And what I can't yeah,
do you remember
they couldn't get Aiden though.
Give up Bridges. I'm like, give up fucking Bridges.
When I texted you in the summer when that shit was happening, I was like, yo, would you give up? I think I put Cam Johnson, Bridges, and Aiden in there for fucking Durant. That was, I think, before wasn't it happened before Aiden signed?
No, because Aiden couldn't be part of that trade because of Ben Simmons.
For the rookie scale.
The other part of my reaction was, wow, we're going to do this without giving up Ayton? Because position-wise, makes the roster. Like, if you kept Bridges and had to give up Ayton, I still would have done it. But it's like,
you know. Then you need to bring D'Antoni back.
Bridges and Durant are the same position. So then, what are we going to put Jock Landau as our starting center?
Landau. Dude,
I mean, again, I still would have done it, but I wouldn't have been as pumped.
I remember, and you in the group chat, you were like, "Are we really going to do this dance again?" With the whole rumors that
just like I just said, there's always be rumors of some big name coming to the Suns, and I'll get hyped, and then it just never happens.
Yeah, like the year it wasn't. I remember golfing with you one year, and you're like, it was free agency. And I forget who the point guard was.
It was Rubio. We got Rubio.
You were supposed to get
were supposed to get freaking D'Angelo Russell, which is even that.
Oh yeah,
big name. But I was like, yo, we getting him, and we were on like the second hole, and I was like, we got fucking Rubio.
Yeah, that was a tough round for Tim after that, bro. That was a tough round for Tim.
Dude, just like, he didn't really speak after that the rest of the day.
And I'm sitting there like, yo, Al Horford's coming back to the Celtics, baby.
He's like, great, bro, that's awesome.
I don't know, man, but yeah, I was definitely not happy when I got the update on that he messed up his ankle.
Hey, what's up with that, man? You guys cursed or something? What's going on? What's up with you?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I don't. I think that's a good answer, but you know what?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's not even. I mean, he has injury issues.
But you know how they say. You know how they say franchises.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer.
No, but he's got a point though.
He's got a point
because you know he had three Kevin Durant like games, right? And then he's just on a freak accident. You're like, are you fucking kidding me? And on top of that, you don't know going forward if he'll be close to 100%. Chris Paul, every playoffs, something happens to Chris Paul.
Right.
Yeah. Who cares? If Chris Paul gets injured but Durant is fine, who cares?
That's what I'm talking about. If Durant is not right and Chris Paul is not right.
I mean, not who cares, but like,
you need them all right now. You got
Yeah, that's what depth, I'm saying. Like, if you're gonna make it to the final, you need all of them at least 70%.
I know. Yeah. So, this is the story of Kevin Durant's career. Like, whenever he plays, he's disgusting. But he just gets injured a lot.
And they're freak injuries, by the way. If you look at the Golden State injury, and even before that when he was in OKC, they're just like these freak injuries. It's not like I mean, this one's the worst one, obviously, because it's in warm-ups, but.
Yo, I got a theory around the Suns, too, so.
What is it?
So, you know how, like, a lot of teams, they, like, say they're cursed, like the Lions and the fucking Browns and shit? The Suns are way worse because they clearly are championship favorites every fucking 7 years. And yes. Something crazy happens.
They have like the fourth best record in NBA history.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And they've had like now that Durant's there, like they're all time squad.
Let's just go over the Nash years when the freaking Robert Horry check into the stands. Amari and Dio take one step on the court and they get suspended.
Yo, what a prick. What a fucking prick Robert Horry is for that.
Just Charles Barkley being the best player in the NBA finals and they still fucking lose, dude. That's like
it's Jordan.
Right, but I'm just saying, like
a guy named Jordan kind of had that. Yeah. Kind of had
right, issue, but right. I'm saying, like, they talk about cursed franchises and they don't bring up Phoenix enough because Phoenix is the worst.
Tim Donaghy admitted, what was it? Which series? There was some Sun Spurs series or some.
The Spurs series. Yeah, Sun Spurs series.
Not the Horry
check. Not the Horry one. No. Like the one after or the one before? One of those.
That he admits, oh, yeah, if I weren't reffing that series, Suns would have won. Yet nobody talks about how the Spurs, how that's not a, put a little asterisk next to one of the Spurs titles there.
Well, oh, yeah.
Because it's 07 and because they smashed LeBron and the Cavs.
07 was the Horry year. Because I remember thinking, damn, we should have won the title that year.
So then it's 05 then when they went up against the Pistons. Yes,
it would have been 05.
Yeah. It was 05, yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, but either way, Tim, I mean, you don't. Let's say if Durant, you know, this thing doesn't pan out in a sense of he's not 100% and all that, like, you don't look back and say, the Suns shouldn't have done that deal, right? Like, you
I'll never say that, no.
Okay, all right.
I think we're going to win the title with Bridges and Johnson.
Do you think these guys have enough time to build that continuity for a title run if Durant comes back?
With Durant?
Yeah.
Yes. I do.
All right. Well, it's ticking there. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, like you said, though, like, I think they have this year and next year. I don't think they're
right, exactly. The team's not going anywhere.
And I don't think they're ever going to be good enough with Bridges and Cam Johnson. So I'll never regret or I'll never say this was a bad trade.
Right.
Yeah, but what do you think happened, like, last season? I feel like they imploded at the wrong time.
People overlook the fact that Booker was definitely injured. I mean, he came back. He never would have came back that quick after the injury against the Pelicans.
Yeah.
I mean, he was playing out of his mind. This dude had, 35 points at halftime in the game that he got injured against the Pelicans. And then 2 minutes into the third quarter, he is out. And the report when he first got injured was two weeks or something, and then he comes back 3 games later because the Pelicans tied it or whatever. He was definitely not 100%. But I'm going to say this. I think Monty Williams is a soft coach.
Oh.
I don't think he's that good a coach.
Oh.
Okay.
I'm not the biggest fan of his. I think he needs to be tougher. Because that game 7 was like, that was hard to watch. And
I don't blame you, man.
The game 7, but even 5, maybe 10 points. But
I mean, when Ayn decided not to go back into the game, he's like, no, I'm not doing that. Like, it's this game's done.
But see, that's the thing about this trade, though, as well. Like, obviously, Booker is thrilled because he's never had a team like this.
Ayn also would have the balls to do that with a freaking coach that was tough on them. You know what I mean?
Well, no, I was just going to say, another part of this trade, though, is that you're getting that star player, sure, that talent, but also he can – maybe this is the spot where he can actually galvanize his teammates, right? As opposed to the Brooklyn situation where it was a bit messy and there's a lot going on with the whole Kyrie missing games. And
yeah, that's
the thing. Never built that bond.
The only thing that matters to Booker is just basketball. Kyrie's got so much bullshit going on in his life. And, like, that's the thing that Durant and Booker together, Durant is the same way where he's just like, basketball is his life.
Right.
Nah, man, but you know, this is facts.
I mean, him and Book had some words at the end of that Mavericks game. They were talking mad shit to each other after that.
Yeah, what's up with that? Why did they like each other so much?
They hate each other.
It was more Luka fucking getting in Booker's face.
Yeah, Booker wasn't even talking to Luka.
Yeah, I know.
That shit's what pisses me off. Like, the dick riding of freaking Luka. Wait to talk for the last 3 seconds. Like, he wasn't even talking to you. He was talking to the ref about how that was a blatant offensive foul.
Yeah, he just got in his face. That was kind of it came out of nowhere. But also, Booker had some shots. He had some subliminals on his Twitter. But yeah, those two. No love lost between those two. Like, maybe we'll get a series out of it. Maybe we do.
Fine, yeah. That's I like that. Man, I hate this whole freaking buddy-buddy shit going on in the NBA these days.
No, man, if you get a series out of that, that could be like the first round series, too. That would be...
Dallas? That could be, right? Where's Dallas right now?
Dallas is in...
5 or 6.
That shit changes every day, man.
Yeah, they're like in that cluster of like 6 through 10 is like all separated by a game or some shit.
Yeah, that shit changes every day.
With Durant, I'm not worried about the Mavericks. Without him, obviously, I am.
Mm-hmm. That's be the year that it's Celtics Suns in the finals for the first time since the 70s.
I don't know. I don't want to jump the gun yet.
I really do think it is.
It should have happened like 3 or 4 times now.
I think last year.
Last year it should have happened. This year it should happen.
Yeah, but this year hasn't happened yet.
All right, man.
What are the 3 or 4 times?
I'm just saying, like, the Suns were like the best team in the West, literally right before the Celtics became the best team in the East.
The year that
Kobe beat the Suns and
I can't remember if it was the year the Celtics beat the Lakers.
That was 2010.
That was 2010. Yeah.
That was the year the Celtics lost to the Lakers, yeah.
And then 2008, that you guys had a good squad, too, and you just fucking...
Now, what happened in 2008, though?
I don't know. But that's what I'm trying to say, is that there were multiple times...
Suns went to the Western Conference Finals that year, though.
Well, wait, no.
They did, yeah.
2010.
2010, they did. We lost 4-2 to the Lakers because Kobe just went nuts.
Yeah. But that's, so that's what I'm saying. There's been multiple times in our friendship that
that was the story from Jacob when he kept saying it. That was the game. That was a series.
Tim, you don't have a chance. It's Kobe time.
we're all thinking the same thing, and we all know it's going to happen, but no one's saying it. But Jacob goes like, Tim, this game is over. Because you're getting mad because, you know, obviously it's like a 5-point game, 3-point game. And we all kind of know it's going to happen, but Jacob's just like, Tim, Kobe time.
Well, Jacob is right. Jacob's always right, bro. Jacob's always right.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
No, I was. You're just justifying my point that I've confused everybody. Is there's been multiple times with Suns and the Celtics with the two
best. That is not what you said. You said over the last 3 years or 4 years or something like that.
No, I said there's been like 3 to 4 times the Celtics should have played the Suns in the finals. That's what I said.
All right. You want to expand on that?
The fourth time I was including this year. So, I mean, I will be. I get it. The 3 to 4, a little bit all over the place. But no, I'm down to look ahead. If anyone else is too, let's go. Let's get to the Celtics talk.
I'm down, Sean. But if you do that fucking shit again where you just like recap an entire franchise's situation, I'm going to lose my shit.
Well, funny you say that. Atlanta started in St. Louis back in the 50s.
Are you being serious?
Yes.
Arena was called Phillips? Now it's called what?
He spends like 12 minutes on each team, and then all of a sudden, it turns into like a half-hour segment.
I gotta go up.
Well, you got your son's stuck in.
Yo, if you couldn't stay, you could have just said so, bro.
All right, peace.
All right, later. All right, let's do it.
Okay.
You don't even know about this road trip.
No, I know all about the road trip. Are you going to go on any other road trip? You got any travel plans?
Man. I wish I was recording from Hot Atlanta, but of course.
I was going to say, man, case. Atlanta to Houston, that's like your...
That's the only stop I wanted to make, actually.
All right, so Celtics, they do go on a 6-game road trippy. They're road tripping like the Allman Brothers over here, dude. You know,
ooh, oh, like the Manhattan Phillies, they're road tripping,
Oh, another road tripping song. That's good. That's good. Anybody else? What you got? What you got?
That's good.
Not a. Well,
I thought you were gonna be like on the road again.
Yeah, there we go. All right. So, anyways, Celtics. There we go. We're looking ahead, man. So something's going on a 6-game road trip.
Six-game road trip.
I don't know what else we're going to think about.
Still on that road trip, yep.
Yeah.
Six games.
Six games.
There's six of them.
All on the road. So,
six-game road
trip. You know what they call that? You know what they call that in the big leagues? A six-game road trip. So, something's going to Atlanta. Tonight, actually, if you're still listening to us, Jesus Christ, if you're still watching us or listening to us, Jesus Christ, tonight the Celtics are playing the Hawks. It's going to be great lead-in to what should be a Celtics dub. Celtics are on the road, but the teams aren't Celtics formidable. Dub. It's not a formidable road trip. It's just a 6-game road trip.
Nah, the best thing to look forward to this game, obviously is if you're a Celtics fan, is the game itself, but. the piano guy who plays like trap music in between plays.
Oh yeah, the piano organist.
Yes, that guy's the man.
He remixes him. You'll definitely hear the organ version of Trap Queen at some point.
Bang, yes. Bang, bang, Betty Wop. Bang, bang, bang.
By the way,
favorites. One of his favorite go tos.
So Celtics Rockets, the two strip club capitals of the United States.
Don't Atlanta, let that distract you from business, Celtics players.
Atlanta right? Straight to Houston. So you really got to start thinking about how focused this team is to take that back-to-back. But then you'll really find out because they go off to Minnesota, where I don't think there's one strip club. So they should be okay.
And there's probably a blizzard.
Yes. Anyways, Celtics, Hawks, Celtics, Rockets, Celtics, Timberwolves.
All right, how you feel about these Celtics? What's the record?
All right, so we talk about the Celtics. We're going to go Hawks, Rockets, Timberwolves. If the Celtics are who we think they are, this needs to be a 3-0. This needs to be a 3-0 run right here. Because you got a Saturday, Monday, Wednesday game. You got a day off in between games. It is strip club row, but if the Celtics are really serious about being a contender, then they're going to show up and they're going to be, you know, the team that we all think they are, but we'll see what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm going to go 3-0. I'm going 3-0. That's what I think is going to happen. I don't think it'll be easy. Maybe outside of that Houston matchup, but yeah, I think there'll be some hard-fought games and the tough effort that they need to put together every single night, regardless if it's still the regular season. So,
yeah, but after the fact that they like, first off, I don't think that 3-game losing streak that they went on when it was like overtime, double overtime, whatever it was, like those games. I hate the fact that everyone just like really started to panic about that. It's February, man. It's March. Like, what are we talking about? Good teams lose bad games in this time of the season. Like,
but 28-point lead?
No, but so I get why everyone freaked out because it's flashbacks of the bad Celtics and the middling Celtics we've seen over the past 2 years. But like, we've had enough sample size to understand this team is different, and like, give them a break, man. Like, that's the way I look at it, dude. Like, not happy about it, but give them a break. It's the middle of not happy about it, but give them a break. It's the middle of early March.
No, I get. I get what you're saying, but like, I think it was more so a few things, right? The blowing of the double digit leads late in games. Jason Tatum outside of the Portland game really hasn't been shooting all that great. Going back to like before the All-Star break, I don't know if it's because his wrist is still injured or he just needed some, you know, a day or two off. You know, the whole Grant Williams thing and some of the rotation pieces. Even like Derek White was like, you know, his minutes have been up and down. So that's a few things people are like kind of panicking about.
Yeah, it was like identity stuff. Like, which team is this? You know.
Yeah.
But they should find out a lot about themselves throughout this trip. And obviously, it doesn't end with these first three games. But this is the lighter end of this 6-game road trip. I mean, let's be honest.
Plus, we talked about it last episode. Like, this is if everyone is healthy or to the point where, you know, Joe's got to figure out his rotations, who he's going to trust, who might fall out a little bit or lose some minutes here and there. But he's got to figure that shit out. Because
you know. Yeah, but the thing that I totally understand that point of view. But Muscala's not playing in the playoffs. If he does, we're fucked.
Well, like, it's not even that. But you're trying to get look. They can say and oh, whoever following this team can say, oh yeah, they're definitely a team that can win a game seven on the road. But to be in first place for you know almost majority of the season and then falter kind of towards the end, that's a little of a momentum killer. If you ask me.
Yeah, but also like it's not that you're falling back in the standings. It's the fact that you lost three games in a row while the Bucks just so happened to be on a 16 game winning streak in second place.
And then Philly is right behind you. Like Philly
But they took care of Philly.
Like, I'm not saying that the Celtics have to worry about Philly. I'm just saying like Philly is on your heels and if you fall to third, I'm just saying hypothetically, if you fall to third okay, you say they won't, but I'm just saying like it's not like they have a significant lead over Philly. That's all I'm saying.
I understand why Celtics fans may feel that way, but I also feel like that's more of revisionist history at this point because I look at just the sample size of what we've seen this year from the Celtics, and I got more faith in this team than I did in years past. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Like,
well, I mean, I look at it more so as like you know, this is just their adversity of the season.
Yeah, whatever. And it's the least little bit of adversity. You can't lose three games in a row. No, like, this isn't a fucking...
It's more so how they lost it, though. That's what it is. Like, the Nets... I'm not saying the Nets are completely garbage, but, like, 28-point lead? You let fucking Mikal Bridges come in back into Boston after he did that a few weeks ago and shit on you again? In two different uniforms?
Keep it on forget.
Yeah, but I also feel like that game, if you want to be disappointed about that game, fine.
Cleveland?
The Knicks game, okay? The Knicks game, that was a team that was surging. You didn't have Jaylen Brown in that game, right?
No, you did have Jaylen Brown in that game. You just had, a tired-ass Tatum that just kept chucking threes at the end of the game when he didn't need to.
Who didn't we have, though, in that game? It was Rob's first game, or... Rob and Al, I think, we didn't have. Because we had...
No, they all played.
New York and Cleveland back-to-back.
They all played except for Rob. Because Al didn't play against Cleveland and Cleveland.
No Malcolm that game. There was no Malcolm that
game. Okay,
that
no Malcolm and no Rob.
Right.
But you let quickly go off?
That, if you want to talk about an adversity game, fine. The fact that how that game happened. But I'm sorry, man. Like, Cleveland's had our number this year, and they just have. It's just whatever it is. Like, over... But it's like double overtime game. It's like, stop worrying about, like, if you're getting blown out, then we can talk about worrying about the fact that the Celtics may not be into it. Like,
teams
that are legitimate playoff teams that are gunning for the Celtics, and they're missing players and on tired legs and whatever the case is, and they're bringing them to overtime and double overtime in the last second play. Like, that's not... In the middle of February and March, that's not horrible.
Okay, but let me play a little devil's advocate here. These teams that we're talking about, New York, Cleveland, Indiana, you barely got by Indiana a few weeks ago. You might see one or two of these teams in the playoffs if you're going to stay at, you know, the two or the one seed.
No, you probably will, but I'm not. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like...
Like Chicago early in the season, like these are teams that you might see in the playoffs, so... We can't just say, like, oh, we're not going to see them, so we don't have to worry about them. They got our number in the regular season, but, you know, come playoff time, it's all good.
No, Cleveland I'm a little bit worried about, but I honestly, at the same time, I'm not as worried about Cleveland. Like, I don't know. What do you feel, Sway? You feel like Cleveland's an they beat us now 3 out of 4 times. You think they're a threat?
I mean, it'll be a really good series. I still think the Celtics win it.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
I do
feel like, and sorry to cut you off, Joel, but I feel like there's going to be a lot of, it's a sports radio series of everyone picking against the Celtics because of the problems they had with them in the regular season, but clearly they're a better
team. The rookie head coach thing played a part. But
yeah, Missoula.
Last year, but that's going to be part of the narrative.
Yeah, a few plays here and there at the end of these games.
National talking heads are going to say, look, the Bucks are a threat. You know, they're reloaded. They have that core. They have that coach for, you know, longer than Mazzulla's been in this position. So, I mean, sometimes he gets the benefit of the doubt because of that. But outside of that, though, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's teams out there that could force a seven-game series. But, yeah, I still think the Celtics are favorites in those matchups for sure.
Yeah, I see, but that's what gets lost when everybody goes so crazy over a three-game span. It's like, this team is, I, all right, and maybe I should stop listening to sports radio, but I actually heard Bradley Beal trade rumors, off-season trade things coming in on the fucking call line. Like, that's ridiculous, man.
No, it's wild. Still, jeez.
All right, so we all got 3-0?
Sorry, I don't know. You said 3-0? I don't know.
No, I was waiting. I was waiting for you guys to finish. So yeah, I got 3-0. I think you know it's not.
Oh,
sure,
yeah, 3-0 too.
I get it. You know they're gonna be away from the Garden for 2 weeks, but like Sway said, like this is where you know you get to work out some of whatever quote issues might be going on right now, and just you know get to know each other a lot better because like you know they're supposed to go for the long haul here. It's not just you know, first round, second round, this is supposed to be a deep playoff run, so get it together.
Yeah. And you got to get ready for when you see Carl Anthony Towns and the Timberwolves in the NBA Finals, bro. It's going to be a finals matchup.
No, it's not going to happen. Not it.
That's very true. Anyways.
Cat's not playing. Not playing.
Oh.
If that was a joke about my fantasy team, it's not fun. Let's wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single show here on Causeway Street with our trip around the NBA with Joel, in case you missed it.
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 Pew, 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 pew.
In case you missed it. Joel's gonna tell you right now.
Pew, pew.
This In Case You Missed It is brought to you by Pistol Pistols, because this is where we're going to talk about all up in this segment. Starting with, of course.
Wait, all things firearms?
All things firearms, exactly.
What we miss?
Ja Morant, right? It's been heavy in the news. I mean, we couldn't even like release an episode last week, hours of it being released, where there was more news of Ja Morant and of firearm use, where you saw a video of him. I'm not even going to say it, what it looked like a gun. It was a fucking gun he was holding up towards his head in the strip club.
And that was definitely him.
And that was definitely him. Okay, it was IG. He went live. You know, Mr. Paul Pierce can say all he wants that, oh yeah, you know, I carried a gun. But I don't remember Paul Pierce ever waving that shit around when he went out in public. No, or maybe I missed something. No, definitely not, right? And I don't think John Moran has gone through a fucking a situation where he almost got killed, right? As far as I know, even though the self-defense report from the summertime of a 17-year-old, but I digress. The Glendale, Colorado Police Department, they didn't find any enough evidence to charge Morant with the crime. So I guess that's a good thing for him because he'd probably be suspended for a lot longer. He's already missed, what, 2 games, 3 games? He's slated to miss about 4 more games, according to the Grizzlies. The NBA was also investigating if any firearm has been seen on Mr. Morant, either in the practice facilities, the arenas, on the team plane. I haven't heard anything come back from that yet.
What, do they think Desmond Bane's a narc, bro?
Well, I mean, if anybody's going to, if that does come back that he's found guilty of that, the NBA, whatever, you know somebody snitched. This is like Gilbert Arenas again.
I'm thinking it's because they have that strict rule about carrying firearms when you're crossing state lines. You know what I mean? So I'm wondering if they're trying to figure out if he ever brought that onto the plane. You know, picked up in the city. Just because he happened to be there. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of that going on because that could lead to a big suspension.
Yeah, no, it's 50 games if the NBA finds that he did have a firearm. Either on the team plane, the team practice facility, or in the arena. That's what the NBA is saying, right? Now, all the other criminal stuff, that's separate, but it's also going to affect him in the long run with more suspensions and fines and all that good stuff. According to
all that bad stuff.
Well, you know what I mean.
Yo, Joel, why'd you say suspensions and fines and all that good stuff?
Well,
none of that is good.
You know what I mean, like all that like stuff, good stuff. You know, in quotations.
Very true. Oh.
Yeah, man. I don't get it. I mean.
Yeah, hold on before I lose it. Okay, Grizzlies coach Taylor Jenkins spoke after the Grizzlies' last win over the Warriors. That they spoke to, he has spoken to the team in general too.
Well, I know what he said.
What did he say?
He said, "Where's Ja?"
You knew it was going to be true, but I was like, it's better be good. All right, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad, yeah. Okay.
That was good. That was good, yeah, right? That was good.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
a little forced, but. Yeah.
Yeah. So Coach Taylor Jenkins, what he said at this press conference is that, quote, "We had conversations in the past trying to guide him and help him continue to evolve as a person and a player. Obviously, this came to a head the other day, so we put this process into action." So, I mean, apparently this has been like an ongoing issue for Morant. I saw reports of him going to rehab, apparently. His drinking has gotten out of hand. There's videos of him on like a...
Is that right? Wow.
There's videos of him on a private jet with his family, kicking it with his pops. So, you know, you got Stephen A, obviously, the talking heads, telling Ja's father to be an actual father and not just his friend. You know, Shaq said the same thing. It's a whole thing here, right? When you talk about Allen Iverson back in the day, you know, who else? I mean, Gilbert Arenas comes to mind as well. Of the people that you surround yourself with, right?
You know what, though?
No, I was just going to say, you know what's interesting? Mark Spears wrote an article about how Carmelo Anthony had a similar past. And I was like, man, I didn't even think about it like that. You almost forget because he changed. He changed so fast.
Yeah, in Denver, yeah.
Got away from it. Yeah, in Denver, how he had a crew and, you know, he'd be out and all that stuff. And that, he had to, you know, let that go, but it took him a little bit. And he was saying how it would be interesting if they were able to, this is way before all this other stuff happened, but, you know, be a mentor to him in Memphis, and if they were to sign Melo, and you know, just to help Ja, and obviously, you know, help the team. But yeah.
But Dylan Brooks shot that down real quick. I don't know if you heard what he said.
No, what did he say?
He said the team doesn't need someone like Melo or like a Dwight Howard because there's a reason why they're out the league.
Oh, jeez. Okay, Dylan.
They're 45 years old.
But, yeah,
but the point is, it's more about helping the guys in the locker room than it is on the court. You know, I think that's what most people are considering, especially the way Mark Spears put this together. Like, it's not mostly about talent. You know, it's the fact that someone needs to guide these guys. I mean, they're young, they're experienced.
The only veteran,
they need that sort of leadership.
The only veteran on that team is Steven Adams. So, like,
yeah, I mean, he's, yeah, he, you could tell that he's.
No, but I'm saying there's no other OG on that team.
No, right? I got you. But like, because he's injured, right? He can only do so much, right? He's usually the first guy when there's a scuffle. He's the first guy to pull his teammates back and like, yo, chill out, you know, type of stuff. But I mean, I don't think he's going to go hang out with fucking Ja and be like, yo, you know, I'm going to watch you when you go out to the clubs and shit and make sure pull out a pistol.
The report states that. The team had a meeting about this stuff.
Yes, yeah.
And apparently he was at the forefront. And
yeah.
It seemed like he was calling out Ja without saying it. You know what I mean?
Especially
like,
on the road. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's what the report was saying. But yeah, especially on the road.
Yeah.
And but, that same night, this is when Ja decided to go live.
Yeah. It was like, it's not just Ja, by the way. I mean, he's the one that was the idiot that broadcast himself on social media live. But Stephen Adams was talking about like, yo, like when we go on the road, like half this team is just out fucking partying. Essentially, it's not just Ja. He's the one that got caught, but it's like everybody should chill out.
Yeah, but I don't know if Steven Adams is the right voice.
I know. Yeah, I get you, but
He's the oldest one.
What do you think? You think they should bring in someone like Melo, like at this point of the season? Like
No.
Like Carmelo's the type of person, and he has said this in the past, you know, after getting arrested multiple times in Denver, mostly for weed possession. I think there was a gun charge thrown in there as well. He had a conversation with David Stern talking about like, yo, we know who you hang with. We know what you do. No. Like, cut it out. And you know what Melo's response to that was? Okay, these dudes are working with the feds. Like, not like I gotta like chill the fuck out, but I gotta chill the fuck out because the feds are involved with the NBA. Like, that's the type of like the mentality that like Melo has. So someone like a Melo, I don't think would work in Memphis. I don't know. I can't think of someone else off the top of my head.
So I don't think they need Melo. Yeah. Right? Like, I'm not saying they need Melo. I'm just saying Mark Spears is right, because that team is a bunch of young dudes living it up and with no, like, don't, like, their coach, who even, the coach is young, too. Like,
he's what they needed to bring in fucking Randolph, Z-Bo, to fucking strain these dudes out.
That's insane.
No, you're not saying to play.
Though. Not to play, bro. I'm talking about like.
No, I'm not even saying to. I'm not. You know, Z-Bo, the jailblazer, Z-Bo.
Yo, like, he's a Grizzlies legend, bro. They retired his number and shit. Like, he's someone that's he's been through it all.
Role model,
but he's been through it all.
That's insane. I thought
he's not a role model. Z-Bo is one of the most.
I'm not talking about being a role model. I'm talking about straighten up these young whippersnappers. That's what I'm talking about.
Like, if you said Mike Connolly Jr., I'd be like, okay. Like, maybe, that guy can, like, show you professionalism.
But how many years was Mike Connolly in fucking Memphis, and what did he accomplish? What did he do with the, you know? Like,
the same thing Z-Bo accomplished. They were on the same goddamn teams together, bro.
He was All-Star. How many times has Connolly been an All-Star? Once. And it was a replacement.
Alright, they should
Come on, I don't need to drag Conley.
Yeah, I would.
That's a low blow. A low blow. Okay, all right. When I do it, a low blow. Okay, that's cool.
This is about Z-Bo. You're just freaking dragging Conley over here.
Yeah, no,
like he's trash. Come on.
How many times have we talked about in the past with the Celtics, right? Assistant coaches that were former players that could come in here and whip him into shape. Like, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to Zach Randolph. That doesn't necessarily be an assistant coach, but someone that could come in and essentially be like, yo, I've been in your position. I've had the big contract, and I want to go out and, party it up, but like, you gotta have limits.
They needed Udonis Haslam on that team. That's what it is.
That's what Dylan Brooks said, actually, when it came to bringing up Melo or Dwight Howard. He goes, those aren't real, veteran, like, a veteran presence of, like, someone like Haslam. I don't know why, but he said Haslam.
You never know.
But I don't think, Haslam has that problem in Miami with any of those guys. I think Jimmy Butler's more someone that tells people, like, keep your shit together.
Yeah.
He tried to in Minnesota, and they weren't feeling him.
All right. I'll fucking leave.
Yeah, he's like, all right, I'm a fucking free agent. It's cool.
Yo, stop fucking around. Yeah. Like, oh, you're not going to stop fucking around? All
right,
I'm out.
Yeah. And shit hasn't been right since in Memphis and in Minnesota.
Shit hasn't been right in Philly neither. So that's another thing. The Jimmy Butler thing probably has a lot of legs, but go ahead.
But yeah, but like, how many like veterans have been traded to Memphis and then they're like, I'm not chilling here. I'm not staying here. What's his name? Andre Iguodala. He was traded there. Didn't play like almost the entire season before he got traded to the Heat.
Yeah, that was a come up for him.
But why did he not say like, hey, I want to stay here?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Why didn't he?
So, we shall see what happens with Ja, because Memphis is going to need him at some point. All right. In case you missed it. Speaking of firearms, yeah, I'm telling you, man, there's firearms stories here. Ex-NBA star Sean Kemp. Yes, Sean Kemp. It's been a while since anybody's heard that name.
You mean the Rain Man?
The Rain Man. The original Supersonic. along with, you know, Gary Payton, but no, he's not part of the story. But Sean Kemp,
that left shrimp,
was released from jail, and he didn't face any charges after it was a drive-by shooting that happened.
The
right?
original reports said it was a drive-by shooting.
The original reports that he was booked on a felony charge because of a drive-by shooting that took place in Tacoma, Washington. No one was injured in the shooting. And according to Sean Kemp, it was he has a license to carry, by the way. It was a self defense. It was a self defense. LTC, baby.
He got that shit registered, bitch. So he got self defense on a lockdown.
So according
to the LTC,
according to Kemp's attorney. Kemp's car was broken into and numerous items, including an iPhone, were stolen. Kemp tracked down his iPhone to an occupied car and was shot at when he approached the vehicle. Kemp then returned fire. Apparently, everybody was safe. No one got shot. So all parties involved clearly don't know how to use a gun because no one was shot.
That also says a lot about whatever state gave him a gun, because he's had mad drug problems in the past. Why does he have a license to carry?
Well, he lives in Washington, the state of Washington. So I don't know how where their gun laws are, how they are up there, but.
So you tell me there's just like a shootout over.
Essentially, because his car got broken into. He tracked the phone down when he was approaching the car. The assailants in the car started shooting at him, so he returned fire.
Came out, everyone was just like, "Wow, like what's going on?" Wait till the whole story comes out. You don't know, like people made it seem like this dude was just going around shooting.
So the Tacoma,
he's in power.
Yeah, he's just walking down the street. Like, I'm chilling, just start shooting exactly. People. Yeah,
like he's Tommy Egan. Right?
So yeah, according to Tacoma police, the altercation between the occupants of the two vehicles near the Tacoma Mall led to shots being fired. This was early Wednesday afternoon. Again, no injuries were reported. And the one that fled the scene, it was a gun that was recovered. So that's why Kemp got arrested, because the other car got away.
Jeez. So they haven't found these guys yet?
No. Not according to ESPN, but you know how this goes. Once this episode gets released, there's going to be more information that gets updated.
So that sounds like somebody that did the shooting.
Got the
question.
You think he got the plate or not?
So he sounded mad guilty right now.
So did you?
Why wouldn't you get the plate?
Did you see what color car it was?
Did they get a name? Did they get a name?
If I'm Kemp, the first thing I'm doing, like, all
right. Hey, I know you're shooting at me right now, but what is your name? Just tell me your first name. That's all I need to know.
No, I'm saying the plate of the car that the guys were in. He didn't have his phone on him, obviously. So.
I don't think this is the first or last time we're going to hear about this altercation, to be honest with you.
To be continued in this edition of Case.
Well, you know, malls and stores and parking lots, there's cameras everywhere.
Oh, yeah, I know, like the back of my hand.
There's cameras everywhere. You know that. Everyone's getting filmed these days. So someone's going to put two and two together and figure out who the hell was in the car.
I thought Sean was going to say shout out to South Shore Plaza.
South Shore Plaza, baby.
By the way, you know Kemp, he has two licensed cannabis stores, right, in Seattle?
But also can carry guns anytime he wants to in Washington. It sounds like a great state, man, you know?
But yeah, you know, but bring back, you know, the Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah, bring them back.
All right, Fred Van Vliet got fined $30K for his rant, I guess you can call it. Of the
that was a great rant.
The NBA officials, it really was. You know, I gotta
someone
say,
had to speak up.
That was someone a, had to speak up again. That was an A+ fucking rant, and he was like, "I don't give a fuck. I know I'm gonna get fined, and I'll take it." But this is just frustrating as fuck when it comes to these officials.
He was legitimately one.
He calling out one particular referee in his rant here, and
said his government. He didn't say his number or nothing. He said his whole name.
Yeah. He didn't say official number 3. He said, no, fucking Ben Taylor. That guy sucks. That's what he said.
Yeah, well, the reason why I kept watching it, I was like, he's going to tell him to suck heads. He's going to say Ben Taylor can suck head. No, dude, I was waiting for him to be
why
like,
it always comes down to that with you?
He's like, yo, that dude sucks. I was waiting for that shit, dude. I was waiting for that.
If he said that, he would have quadrupled his fine.
And he just goes on his rant, and the last thing he says is like, yep, yeah, I don't know else how to say this, but Ben Taylor can just put some mic down, fucking walk away.
Yeah, if I was in that press seat, you would just see me dying laughing. You just literally be like, yo, that's
way. So Van, yeah, so Van Vliet, he picked up his 8th technical foul, right? Three of which have come from this said Taylor official. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm just read this quote, because this is great.
Yeah, let's read it.
Quote, I don't mind. I don't really care. I thought Ben Taylor was fucking terrible tonight. I think that on most nights, you know, out of the three officials, there's one or two that just fuck the game up, and it's just like a couple of games in a row now. You come out tonight, it's competing pretty hard. I get the bullshit tech. That changes the whole dynamic of the game, changed the whole flow of the game. Most of the refs are trying hard. I like a lot of the refs, and they're trying hard. And they're pretty fair, and they communicate well. And then you got others that come in and just want to be a dick and just fucks up the game. And no one's coming to see that shit. They come to see the players. End quote.
Yeah, that's true.
And Ben Taylor can suck it. No, I'm not exaggerating on the fact that I was listening to that, waiting for that to be dropped.
The exclamation point. I got you.
You're always waiting for that to be dropped. Anybody that's just
no. I mean, Deshaun's defense though, it fits in nicely at the end.
So guess who was asked about Van Vliet's comments? Take a wild guess.
Carmelo Anthony.
Yes, Carmelo Anthony, because he's all up in the news as of lately. Nah, man, Marcus Smart. He was asked about, you know, the officiating, you know. And he said, quote, I don't know if you saw Fred VanVleet's interview. That is all I'm going to say. Obviously, it lets you know and that I'm not speaking out of my butt when I'm telling you that I'm not doing what it feels this way. I'm going to let Fred do all the talking, end quote.
That's got to be the new plea the fifth for all the players now. Like, yo, tonight was BS. What Fred VanVleet said. And that's all I'm saying. And you can't find him on that. You can't find him on that. It's like, yeah, no, man. That's all I said. I was just saying, hey, what that dude said.
Yeah, but
that Fred.
Yeah, I mean, we are.
Fred took one for the team, man. He took one for the league.
Yeah, like, but whoever saw that knew he was going to get fined. But $30K though. How many times has Smart just this season?
Nothing.
I'm saying, how many times Smart this season has said things that we don't know what he said because the ref won't say what he said, and he's like 35 or more, like the fine.
Because he's probably saying the thing that I thought Fred Van Fleet was going to say, bro. His face.
But I'm talking about like in the. He spoke to the media. Like, Smart doesn't say what he said in the media. He doesn't do that. He's not that stupid.
No one ever says something like that in the press conference. Can you imagine? Dude,
there'd be fucking suspension galore after some shit like that.
It'd be like, yeah, seven games. Seven games suspension on this motherfucker.
What would be the warning of it would be hilarious. Yo.
No, but this dude here is another example of. Yeah, he says, yeah, I'll take my fine. And then the NBA is like, well, we got to fine him, you know, but it just won't be as much because maybe he does have a point. It's the same reason going back to LeBron. He shit on that ref or the refs in general, you know, when they lost to the Celtics back in, I don't know, January, whatever the fuck that was. Yeah. And he didn't get fined. So I think, I don't know, this is kind of setting a precedent with, like, the NBA needs to either crack down on, you know, refs taking shit personal, getting emotional or whatever the case may be, or like start fining these players for more than just 25K or 30K. And this thing they can just say whatever.
Or it'd be nice if they just had good referees.
That too. No, I'm just saying like it's gotta be somewhere in the middle. It's gotta meet somewhere in the middle.
What happens if a ref is just like on like a bad run, like a terrible streak? Like they don't get, you know what I mean? Not that I want these guys paid to get docked, but like,
well,
some accountability for these guys.
Well, I mean, like, a few
not doing their job.
You know, a few episodes ago, I brought that up right before the All-Star break, and you know, Silver's press conference right before the All-Star weekend, he was like, that they do get reprimanded, but they just
the LeBron thing.
Because people wouldn't let that go, and he was just saying like, yeah, they get reprimanded, but it's just not public. Because he's like that. I don't want to put my referees like on blast, essentially.
Yeah, I forgot you said that. If that's true.
Yeah. But yeah.
But I always think it's like the fact that the refereeing, like, you don't, like, they deal with different refs every single night, and like, why do the players need to know who the ref is for what they can get away with? That's just crazy.
Well, I mean, I think it gets to the point now where us as the viewers, we shouldn't know referees' names.
Yeah, we should.
We shouldn't. Like, before games now, especially the playoffs, it's getting tweeted out. It's on social media. Oh, such and such, these three guys are going to be refereeing, you know, game five. It's like, oh, it's like, we got to look out, make sure, like, there's no sketchy shit that happens. But then sometimes sketchy shit does happen, but nothing else comes from it. I don't know. It's just...
Well, no, I think like, to be honest with you, the betting culture feeds into that, which is even worse.
And that's all it is now. When you see, like, when you, even when you're watching a show like NBA, you know, NBA Today, right? That's in between, like, their segments. It's like, all right, we got the line for tonight's game, or we got, and that's what it is now. But that makes it even more so a problem because you don't know who's doing what, whether it's the refs, whether it's someone else behind the scenes, who the fuck knows.
Well, I just feel like that whole Tony Brothers thing, or who's the other ref that the Celtics have been playing well with recently?
Been playing well with recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Not Scott Foster.
No, it was last year in the playoffs.
Good teammate?
Like, maybe it was Ben Taylor. I don't know. It was. But
here we go. We just named like three or four fucking refs right now. Like, yeah. We should know their names.
The disrespect.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You hate to see it.
Two firearm stories and one about the refs. So that's it. That's going to do it for this.
Shots fired at the refs.
Shots fired at the refs. There you go. Thank you.
Pretty much.
Boom, boom. Good job, Sway. That's
going
to do it.
Most violent case you missed it ever.
That's gonna do it for this pew, pew, pew edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Head up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics news, rumors, and opinions. Subscribe to Causeway After Hours. That's patreon.com/causeway for exclusive content. We talk about life. And Sway also has opened the vault to all his interviews. And we got our jersey giveaway coming up soon. So, again, subscribe.
Next week.
Do the right thing.
Next week. So by the time you hear next week's episode, you either won or you lost. If you don't hear from us, that means you lost. So.
Yeah.
There you go. So good luck, everybody. And for people who haven't signed up, you have until next week's episode. People who sign up are just like, yo, those dudes better not fucking win. But yeah, I guess you got a shot there.
Who knows? I don't know. People who have already signed up, which we appreciate, are just like, nah, man, that's taking away chances from me. But still, everybody has a shot. So do the right thing. Until next episode. Until next time. Is that that you being sad that you lost some money there, Sean?
No, we good.
You good?
It sounded like Freeway, but
it was Freeway.
It was like an acoustic version of Freeway.
It was the Scott Stapp version. No, it was the Stain.
It's not like the unplugged version of Freeway.
It was the Stain version of Freeway.
Stain. Ah, okay.
Stain doing a cover of Freeway.
Yeah. All right.
It's been a while. Hustle to the sun comes up. Grab a 40 till the sun comes down. Imagine that, bro. Imagine the Freeway version, bro. It's a cold winter. Bundle up.
We out.
No, it's late.
We out.